Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Secret Wars 100 Years of British Intelligence, Inside MI5 and MI6 by Gordon Thomas presents a sweeping, narrative-driven look at how Britain's main security and intelligence services evolved from early 20th century counter-espionage into modern-era secret statecraft. Drawing on widely reported historical episodes and the long public record surrounding MI5 and MI6, the book aims to connect landmark crises, covert operations, and institutional rivalries into one continuous story. Readers are taken from World War-era networks and code-breaking environments to the ideological struggles of the Cold War, the turbulence of decolonization, and the shift toward counterterrorism and global surveillance. Along the way, Thomas focuses on the tension between secrecy and democratic accountability, the pressures created by double agents and penetrations, and the human costs of clandestine work. The result is positioned as both a history of organizations and a portrait of the political and cultural forces that shaped intelligence decisions across a century. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, origins and institutional DNA of MI5 and MI6. A core theme is how MI5 and MI6 developed distinct missions, cultures, and methods while repeatedly being forced to collaborate. The book frames MI5 as the domestic security service focused on counter-espionage and internal threats, while MI6 is depicted as the foreign intelligence collector operating overseas through stations, agents, and liaison relationships. Thomas emphasizes that these roles were never perfectly separated. Wars, ideological campaigns, and emerging technologies regularly blurred boundaries and pushed the services to compete as much as coordinate. The narrative highlights the importance of early leadership decisions, recruitment pipelines, and the quiet creation of bureaucratic routines that later became defining habits. It also shows how political oversight changed slowly, often after scandals or failures, creating a pattern where reform arrives late and under pressure. By tracing the services from their early 20th century foundations through successive reorganizations, the book helps the reader understand why certain reflexes persist, such as strict compartmentation, the preference for deniability, and the tendency to protect sources even at high political cost. This institutional background becomes the lens through which later operations and controversies are explained. Secondly, world wars, espionage tradecraft, and the battle for information. The book places the world wars at the center of Britain's intelligence identity, describing them as periods when information became a decisive weapon and intelligence services expanded rapidly. Thomas discusses how counter-espionage, deception, and early signals intelligence formed a toolkit that later generations refined. He also explores how wartime urgency accelerated experimentation, from recruitment of non-traditional operatives to the creation of networks that operated under extreme risk. The narrative attention goes to classic intelligence problems, identifying enemy agents, safeguarding ports and industrial targets, and managing the flow of secrets in government and the military. Thomas presents the human dimension of the work, emphasizing how tradecraft depends on patience, interpersonal judgment, and the ability to read motivation under pressure. He also highlights that wartime success often carried seeds of future conflict because improvisational systems created rivalries and unresolved jurisdiction questions. By treating the world wars as laboratories for modern intelligence, the book explains why post-war Britain entered the Cold War with a strong belief in clandestine capability, while still facing the same vulnerabilities, flawed assumptions, bureaucratic infighting, and the constant risk that an adversary is already inside the system. Thirdly, Cold War penetrations, double agents, and trust under siege. A major emphasis is the Cold War period, where the services faced not only external adversaries, but also the corrosive suspicion created by penetrations and defections. The book draws on widely known cases and controversies to show how a single well-placed mole can distort decision-making for years, forcing leaders to second-guess operations, damage morale, poor exemplar, and sometimes abandon promising sources. Thomas explores how counterintelligence work becomes a battle of inference rather than proof, with careers and national strategy shaped by assessments that may remain uncertain. The narrative also illustrates the double-edged nature of deception operations. Running double agents can produce extraordinary insight, but it also creates opportunities for manipulation, blowback, and internal disagreement about what is real. This section underscores how ideology, class assumptions, and recruitment practices could become liabilities, particularly when the services relied on familiar social networks for vetting. Thomas uses these episodes to examine the cost of secrecy in a democracy when the public cannot see the evidence. Trust is fragile, and when intelligence leadership cannot trust its own files, operations become cautious or erratic. The Cold War story becomes a study in resilience, paranoia, and institutional self-protection. Fourthly, covert action, decolonization, and the politics of plausible deniability, Thomas situates British intelligence within the upheavals of decolonization and shifting global influence, describing how clandestine tools were used to manage alliances, protect strategic interests, and respond to insurgencies. The book highlights the appeal of covert action for policymakers who want influence without open military commitment, while also stressing its moral and strategic risks. Intelligence services operate in a world of ambiguity where legal frameworks are contested, outcomes are hard to measure, and the line between information collection and active interference can be thin. Thomas examines how operations in contested regions often depended on local partners, which introduced new vulnerabilities such as unreliable intermediaries, divergent agendas, and reputational damage when relationships became public. The book also explores inter-service and inter-agency politics, showing how intelligence organizations can become instruments in broader governmental struggles. Plausible deniability emerges as both a shield and a trap. It can protect national leaders in the short term, but it can also encourage risk-taking, blur accountability, and complicate later diplomatic relationships. By focusing on this era, the book connects intelligence history to Britain's changing role in the world and the recurring temptation to solve political problems through secret means. Lastly, Modern Counterterrorism, Surveillance, and Accountability Challenges. In its later arc, the book emphasizes the shift from state-centered espionage to the complex landscape of terrorism, transnational crime, and high-speed communications. Thomas discusses how MI5 and MI6 adapted to threats that do not always present clear command structures, uniforms, or predictable deterrents. Intelligence work becomes increasingly preventive, with success measured by attacks that do not happen, a standard that can never be fully proven. The narrative also highlights how technology changes tradecraft. Data collection, signals intelligence partnerships, and the growth of digital footprints broaden what services can know, while raising new questions about privacy, proportionality, and oversight. Thomas links these debates to earlier patterns in intelligence history, arguing that secrecy can be necessary for operations but dangerous when it becomes a default posture toward the public. The book points to the rising importance of legal frameworks, parliamentary scrutiny, and internal compliance mechanisms, especially when intelligence failures can have immediate and tragic consequences. This topic shows intelligence as a living institution under constant reinvention, balancing operational effectiveness with public legitimacy, and trying to maintain trust while operating in shadows that democratic societies find increasingly hard to tolerate. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want a panoramic understanding of British intelligence rather than a narrow case study history-minded readers, students of international relations, security professionals seeking context, and general nonfiction fans who enjoy investigative-style narratives about secret institutions. It can benefit the reader's life by sharpening practical skepticism about how governments handle uncertainty, how information shapes policy, and why organizational culture matters as much as individual brilliance. The stories and themes encourage readers to think in terms of incentives, trade-offs, and unintended consequences, skills that translate to work, leadership, and civic awareness. Compared with similar intelligence histories, this book aims to cover a full century with an emphasis on continuity, connecting early counter-espionage to present-day counterterrorism in one arc. That breadth helps readers see recurring patterns, rivalry between agencies, the recurring lure of covert shortcuts, the persistent problem of oversight, and the way a single security breach can echo for decades. For buyers deciding among intelligence books, its value lies in the integrated scope and the focus on the interplay between MI5, MI6, politics, and public trust. If you want one volume that sketches the long storyline behind Britain's most secret services, it is a compelling choice. If you would like to support Gordon Thomas, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.